B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, so 5 o'clock hour.
This is your hour, 5 o'clock hour. So here's the number, 610-632-0975. Talking about the resumption of baseball, whether you look at this as the players have to take this deal that's been offered by the owners, and among if we're talking about the baseball part of it, the games will be played in home stadiums when are allowed. The games will be against divisional and regional opponents. The rosters will be expanded to as many as 30 active players, and then there'll be a taxi squad. No fans will be in the stadiums to begin the season. The spring training will start in mid-June, and the opening day will be early July. There'll be a 14-team postseason rather than a typical 10. There will be 82 games scheduled instead of the standard 162. And the most important thing, as far as the players are concerned, a 50-50 split of revenue from the 2020 season, which could be altered to the point where the players would not receive their fair share, and it could alter the tone of the game because it's salary cap-esque revenue sharing with the players and the owners. And so the question that I have for you is, whose side are you on? Now, we're running a poll today, and the obvious answer is the players need to play for your enjoyment. But I ask you to think a little deeper because this is going to alter the course of what they're about as a players' union, which goes back years and years and years. And in 1994, the mere mention of a salary cap caused the players to shut down completely, and then they were locked out. And then we didn't have the rest of the baseball season, and we didn't have a World Series, and we weren't going to have a Major League Baseball season the following spring until a last-minute settlement came out, and then the season started a little later. So they're dug in against that principle. The only thing that is the factor here is that it's a pandemic. And so we're thinking everybody should give a little for the sake of all. In fact, the governor of Illinois just came out and said that players should take the deal because everyone is sacrificing. He has to be a Democratic governor. J.B. Pritzker,
yeah,
is the governor of Illinois.
He also admitted that he hadn't seen the deal.
Oh, really?
When there was a follow-up question. But, yeah, he says it doesn't matter. Everybody's sacrificing.
Because, you know, he it is noteworthy he's a Democrat because mostly it's the Republicans that are on one side and Democrats on the other side. Stay in your house. Republicans want you to get out because, you know, that'll save the president.
Well, right now, one thing that both sides of the aisle can agree on is bleep the players.
Mm-hmm.
By and large, they don't care about the players because they don't look at the players because of the amount they make mm-hmm. as labor. But if you boil it down to their job, they would not side with the owner of the company as often as they do the owner of teams.
True.
They just wouldn't. Because remember, every millionaire out there that's getting paid has somebody richer than him paying them. Like, it's not like the owners are losing money to pay Bryce Harper that kind of money. He can afford it.
That's the truth. All right. Also, who is your choice for Monday Night Football booth? I'm reading this to Richard Deitch, who covers media for Sports Illustrated, right?
I think he's at The Athletic now.
Yeah, he moves to Sports Illustrated.
They've blown everything up.
His dream team is Dave Pasch,
okay,
Kurt Warner, and Lou Riddick, a three-man booth.
I would actually like that booth because I think that Warner would get the fun, would inject some fun into Lou.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would.
Yeah,
I think
he's good. It's actually not bad. Pasch is a solid play-by-play guy.
He is. Yeah, I like him, and I think that he can be fun, too. They can mm-hmm. do some stuff. I thought Monday Night Football, when I was growing up, was supposed to have an element of fun.
Yes.
It was the game, but there was some fun.
I agree with you. That's why Lou, is too much.
Yes, but if you soften Lou with Kurt, all right.
Yeah. See, Lou's like, he would be like my head would be like Tony Dogs in Casino.
Oh, no. You got to
like, yeah, like I'd be in a football vice grip with Lou, just straight Lou.
Right.
You know?
Right. You'd be saying, kill me.
Dogs. Listen to me very carefully. I got your head in a freaking vice.
That's a grizzly thing.
Let's go to Todd in Philly. Todd, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Todd.
Hey, man. What's happening, Mike?
What's up, Todd?
Tyrone, you guys are great. All three of you. For sure.
Thanks, Todd.
Yes, sir. Anyway, hey, Mike.
What?
I'm from the Church of Michael Jordan.
Oh, all right.
Yes, I am.
Let's play the church organ.
Yeah, I've seen
the pipe organ going.
With the Bulls, and the guy went into the air and traveled, I don't know how many feet, a long way, and dunked the ball. And I said, all right, I've seen enough. Greatest I've ever seen.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm sure that it might. There you go. There's the church. There's the Church of Jordan music.
All right, wait a minute. Hold on. Chai your church.
Settle down. Chai's a member of the Church of LeBron. They didn't use the pipe organ. The Church of LeBron. It's all school, the pipe organ.
I'm listening. I got the best, the four greatest basketball players. Number one is Michael Jordan, without a doubt, in my opinion.
Okay.
Number two, LeBron James, in my opinion. Number three, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, in my opinion. And the fourth one, Magic Johnson. In my opinion. Now, Mike, I have a sports question. Is that okay?
Is Kobe doesn't figure in there?
Kobe was tied with Larry Bird at number five.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right, I have a sports question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I was watching the game last night, and you know and I know the Chicago Bulls had, three in a row.
Yes.
What do they call it? A dynasty.
Yes.
Did the Warriors get a dynasty? I know the Yankees got a dynasty, but my question is, if you could name a few dynasties across the board, because I think, in my opinion, that it is an unbelievable feat.
Yeah, it's sensational. It hadn't been done.
Oh, my God.
So,
Yankees, who asked to do it, or who?
I don't remember exactly who did it before you're saying the Bulls established a dynasty.
No.
What?
Last to do it was the Yankees, I think.
Well,
I think the Bulls, and then...
What are you talking about? You're talking about three in a row?
Yes, sir.
Well, there's a couple in hockey that did it.
Okay.
The Edmonton Oilers did it.
There you go.
The Canadiens did it back in the day.
Okay.
The Spurs had a run, didn't they?
I think the Spurs maybe had a dynasty. I'm not sure.
Yeah, the Packers, way back in the 60s with Paul Hornung and Bart Starr and all that.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. That'd be a great show.
And then obviously the Celtics had a dynasty. The dynasties in the modern day don't have it because there's too many variables. It's rare you can keep a team together to create a dynasty.
Yeah, three in a row specifically is hard. Obviously, the Lakers had a dynasty.
They happened more in hockey because hockey didn't modernize for a long time.
Yeah, because you did mention the Islanders won the four in a row.
Yeah, the Islanders.
82-83.
Yes, the Islanders were a dynasty.
And then Edmonton took over for them, right? Isn't that how it went?
Edmonton came right after the Islanders.
Right after the Islanders, right? That's the history?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what's funny though. As a kid, the Islanders are a nothing franchise in my mind. Because growing up, they never were really contenders.
This is weird about the Islanders. As much as they were a rival of the Flyers, I really admired the way they played hockey.
Like their style.
I liked their whole team. I didn't look at that team and go, "Gee, I hate this guy or hate that guy." They were behind the curtain stars. They weren't obtrusive. Trottier, Bossy, and who was the other line mate? Was it Gillies or was it Nystrom? I can tell you all the guys. I love Mike Bossy. Trottier, they went about their business. They just played hockey. Gillies was like a tough winger.
Yeah.
John Tinelli. Bobby Nystrom. They had a combative goaltender. But I really liked that whole team. I know it's sacrilege to say that in Philadelphia.
No, I'm looking
but
up
they
that
were,
squad.
They were admirable.
Yeah, one season, Mike Bossy in 81-82 had 147 points
in 80
games.
He was just a sniper. I love that sniper type of guy.
That was a right-winger record. No right-winger
had
ever had.
And Trottier was just a selfless center. He was like the modern-day Bobby Clark.
Look at that. That was a squad.
And Clark Gillies was a pounder.
Wow.
Yeah, they, I really like that team. And Chico Resch and Billy Smith were the goalies.
Look at that. That's a squad.
That's
Hall of Famers in
that
mix.
It is a good squad. Yeah. Joe in Reading. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
How you guys doing?
What's up, Joe?
Now, we have established, I think you've done a pretty good job of establishing the fact that Mike was good because he was tough and mean. Tough. Can you guys think of any super athletes who were nice guys? Do you have to be mean to be a great player? Do you know any guy? Can you give any examples of guys who really were nice guys and superstars?
In all sports?
Any sport.
Well, there's a ton of them in baseball, but maybe because that's a different sport.
Like
football, Walter Payton was a nice guy, like, right? Lawrence Taylor wasn't. You know, you raise a good point. It's all how you make yourself great. It's the mentality you need to make yourself great. Now, in Michael Jordan's case, he needed that mentality to make himself great, and he also needed to prod other guys to the point of humiliation, thinking that would make him great.
Well, you mentioned Walter Payton. I'll tell you something. I just saw recently that they do a piece on weekends on football players, their biographies. Walter Payton was mad. The Bears won the 85 Super Bowl, and he didn't get to carry the ball when Refrigerator carried the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was acting like Scottie Pippen. I mean, if you're a team guy, the team wins, and that's it. And so I didn't like that about Walter Payton.
He didn't stay out of the game, though, at a crucial moment. Do you think of a guy pulling himself out of the huddle when they need to get a first down? That's what Scottie Pippen did.
That's what he did. He really did.
And now the question you're asking is that they may be extremely competitive, the great ones. How many of them were that hard on their teammates? That's the thing that maybe separates Jordan from everybody. Because, you know, I've never heard stories of like the great ones being that hard on their teammates. He was the ultimate hard on the teammate guy.
Well, he was a bully. But it made him and the team great. So I can't argue with that. So my problem is, I don't like this. I love him as a player. And the results. But I got grandkids. And my son is pushing them the same way to be like that. And I said, no. You know, I want them to enjoy life, have fun. And I don't know. You know, Michael had no life. Just basketball and that's it. And of course, I really was upset when he
had a life. He, like, smoked fine cigars, drank fine wine, had ladies, had played a lot of golf. You know, he had a life.
That's true.
Now, he had porn stars come up to his hotel room.
That's true. but that's
I think not, in the not, documentary. I haven't seen the porn thing.
But I've heard he was a womanizer big time. As a matter of fact,
you heard that?
They say that he and Barkley taught Tiger how to be a womanizer.
Well, let me ask you this, Greg. Well, Tiger was making up for lost time. That's what happened to Tiger. But let me ask you this question about Mike being a non-tipper. Now, what does that say about a man's character when he's a cheapskate?
Well, he was a cheapskate.
How's that affect you when you think about Michael Jordan? Because there's a lot of things we can overlook. I can't overlook being a damn cheapskate and not wanting to tip a guy who takes your bag out of the car to your room.
I don't like that either.
All right.
I don't like that either.
All right, man.
Anyway, you guys do a great job. Enjoy you, man.
All right, Joe. Thank you very much. See that? That's the thing that, like, I would have loved to hear. Like, what's that mentality? What is that? Where you're cheap and you make $100 million a year.
Yeah, that's a good point. And he was kind to, like, a lot of the workers at the arena who weren't making a lot of money. So it's not a disdain for poor people or something
like
that.
Well, he was nice to them. Did he give them money?
Yeah,
he did.
Apparently, he took care of those guys.
Yeah,
unfortunately, that guy with the white hair guy has passed away.
Uh-huh.
So, but apparently, they had a pretty good relationship, and Jordan took care of him. And the other security guys that used to be around there, walking around and stuff. They weren't highly paid. They were just like, you know, arena security. Mm-hmm. They weren't like, Apparently, Jordan took care of those guys and did right by those guys and
right,
played games.
But there's
with them
so many other stories of him being cheap, and I mean Charles will tell a lot of them. You know, he wouldn't tip caddies or whatever.
And Barkley's always generous.
Yeah,
always
like generous. I go, what does that say about a guy? Like, how does that fit in the equation?
That's a kind of scummy thing. Come on, these got guys. If you have the first of all, if you're going. You have to.
See, I can see that. This is the thing. This is why I'm perplexed by it. Because I can see the other side. I can see the driven part of Michael Jordan. I can see why he would treat people poorly because he was interested and maniacal about winning. And that's the only way he knew how to do it. I can see that part of it. I don't see the tip thing. You know, like I'm trying to put that together. What does that say about him?
That speaks to his character. That's him forgetting where he came from. Because his parents, his dad was working at the plant or whatever.
Uh-huh.
That's a guy who, along the way, in moments at least, would forget where he came from. Because if you don't come from a lot, and he did not come from a lot, his parents had a job, but they weren't rich by any means.
Yeah.
You don't treat people who have less like that if you remember where you came from. That's him at those moments. That's what I think it is. He forgot where he came from for a while, which is bad.
Yeah, but even like later in life. Like, beyond the basketball part of it, like, I'm still hearing the same stories.
Off the court, he forgot where he thinks I'm Michael Jordan. He might even think that the people, it's a pleasure for them to serve him. I've heard that from other rich folks.
Yeah.
Like, the waiter waiting on me, oh, that person's thrilled. They got to meet me.
Yes.
I mean, that's a arrogant, terrible attitude, but I have heard that from somebody.
No, I think it applies to Jordan, too. I think he may have said that.
There you go.
Like, that, you know.
I made
like,
that person's day.
Yeah,
like,
Tiger's the same way. Tiger's like, you know, if he's on a practice round somewhere, he thinks it's the caddy's privilege to carry his bag, so that wouldn't necessitate a tip. Yes, like, I don't understand that kind of mindset.
And I'm fine with being in the zone and not doing a lot of talking with the person and stuff like that, or you're out to eat and you're being private, but you've got to take care of the people at the end. As long as they get the money, you snubbing them doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But give them the money.
Yeah. All right. So our last caller ranked players, and he went, Jordan, LeBron, Jabbar, Magic.
I'm okay with that list.
See, this is why,
but
though.
But you always take centers out.
I can't, like, you got to explain to me, like, what's a logical way. There's no logical way to rank a center with a regular basketball player who transports a basketball 94 feet. It's the same in baseball, where you can't equate a pitcher to a hitter.
Well, pitchers will have one MVP, though. If you're a great enough pitcher, you transcend.
You do, but it's very rare. Because there's no common ground there. There's not a common ground between a center and somebody's got the ball in his hands. There just isn't.
But you're anchoring the defense. You got to look at the other end, too. You make up for a lot of things on defense.
Yeah, but you're not being asked to do everything that the other guy is.
In the modern NBA, you are. Center's got to be able to switch on pick and rolls. They got to be able to guard guards.
They don't have to dribble the ball up and down the floor.
I'm talking about defensively. They're asked to do a lot now, much more than in the past.
Still, it's the hand-eye coordination with the ball, getting from spot to spot. They don't do. So, therefore, I have to have my own separate list for them.
I can't do that. I got to include it all in one. And being tall is a skill in basketball.
No, it's fortunate.
It's a skill in basketball.
It's a skill, but it's a DNA fortune.
Well, so is being fast. LeBron being as fast as that size is a
DNA fortune to be able to transport the basketball away from people that are trying to steal it from you and get to a spot is not DNA. That's something you worked on.
That is, but some guys are just athletic and they last partially because, like, Westbrook's otherworldly athleticism is DNA. Now he transports the ball, but the fact that he's able to get up and down the way that he has and get all those triple doubles, that's DNA too.
When you don't handle a ball, it's a separate category.
Okay.
For me.
I know.
All right, let's go to Sly in West Philly. Sly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sly.
Mikey, what's going on?
What's up,
man?
Sly?
How you doing?
Good.
And know what I got from watching The Last Dance and watching Michael Jordan?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that struck me as I was watching it, it gave me a whole new respect for Allen Iverson, because those guys had a tendency to try to make an example of any rookie that came into the league or any hot shot. I remember the year before Iverson's rookie year when Jerry Stackhouse was a rookie, and they just made an example of him, and Jerry Stackhouse was like, you know, he had like 2 points. They made him turn over the ball like 8 times or whatever. And for Allen Iverson to score, like, he scored 44 at Chicago Stadium. When them guys, they were notorious for taking a younger guy and trying to make an example of him. So the fact that that guy was just taking it to him like that, I was like, especially when you see that their mentality and the things they would do and guys they would point out to just abuse them. I gained a whole new respect for them based off of that. I was like, okay, because they didn't play that. They would definitely try to make you look bad if you were some guy that had a reputation. They didn't allow that. So,
well, you know, it's funny. The Jordan Iverson comparison is interesting because neither of them would acknowledge that anybody else was better than them.
Right.
So, and that's what fueled them. And mm-hmm. and. You know, and I was talking about, I brought up the example a little earlier with the Tyronn Lue situation. When after the game, the announcer, the guy was interviewing Allen Iverson, brought up the fact that
he could
never admit it. Now, like today, if Allen Iverson, there's no way he would admit that Tyronn Lue did anything special in that game. Because Tyronn Lue doesn't deserve that kind of respect. When it comes to Jordan, though, he was talking about Gary Payton. And right. He wouldn't even give him respect.
No, but he gave AI because he basically had to take it. Like they always talk about him and the crossover and all that. But he scored 30 that game and 44 the other game. I'm like, that's unusual for an opponent that they would let do that. But Jordan ain't gonna never get nobody no respect.
But he's 60.
I remember.
But it's the thing. Like, how old do you be? When you look back at your life, you go, yeah, I can give that guy a little. Because I'm the best that ever was. So I go, what's it hurt me to throw a guy a bone?
Right, you ain't right. And the thing about AI that's funny, like when they talk about Tyronn Lue and they was like, how he stopped me. He said, look, man, you better thank me for that little $15 million contract you got.
Yeah, it was classic.
I
guarantee you, Sly, today there's no way that Iverson would even admit. Because Tyronn Lue's not the type of guy who would earn AI's respect. But he is just a fledgling little journeyman. Right? So AI would defeat himself if he admitted that some fledgling little journeyman actually had an impact on what he did on the basketball floor. But that's why it was so shocking to me that, like, Gary Payton was a star player in the league. Right? It's not shine off you if you go, you know, he's a very good defensive player. You know, we were just better. So whatever he said, I disagree with that he had me from the start. That series would have changed. That wouldn't have changed, but he's a good defender. Like, he can't go there.
It's not in him.
No, it's not in him. What did he say? Because somebody misinterpreted it. I just got an email from a guy. He said something about Gary played. No, he said, I didn't have a problem with the glove. Now, a guy just emailed me, goes, see, he said he wasn't mad. He was okay. No. He meant that he didn't give him a problem on the floor.
Right.
Is what he meant.
He said he had something else on his mind. Right, had a lot on my mind. It had nothing to do with him. I had a lot on my mind.
Exactly. All right. 610-632-0975. All right. So there's no stand up today. So we're going to take your calls all the way until the end. And now's a good time to get in. Discuss any of the stuff we're talking about, including the Michael Jordan thing, the ESPN booth, and Major League Baseball, and the plan to come back. And what do you make of it? What's your percentage that it'll actually happen that way? And do you want it to happen this way? Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
30, which means it's time for the final Twitter poll numbers. This is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment? See Paul B. Moyer & Sons. They have it all. Order online, paulbmoyer.com, or give them a call. They have a safe, contactless pickup at their place in Doylestown, PA. Just roll up, put it in the hatch. Natalie Agonoff, and this is all the fans are invested here in baseball coming back. So what's our final poll say?
Final poll has over 700 votes on it. Should the players accept the owner's proposal to bring baseball back? 68% say yes, 32% say no.
Of course you should, you spoiled louts. Do something for somebody else for a change.
You get to play a kid's game and make millions of dollars. You know what I would play baseball for?
Yeah, that kid's game thing, that's a good line.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing you always hear.
Kid's game, get out of here.
Kid's game. Well, of course they want to be back. I don't blame the fans for wanting stuff to be back. But, man, again, it's many slip from cup to lip. Testing, this revenue thing where the players usually dug in against it. And the leadership is making the decisions here and not one man, one vote. We're probably not going to get this unless the owners change it up a little bit.
Yeah, now there was recently FDA just approved a new easier test that's supposed to be more accurate. I wonder if all these leagues are setting up to waiting for the perfect, the best test available and then dump a bunch of money. Because if you're the NFL and you plan on starting on time, wouldn't you want to be loading up on tests now? They say their players, because they only play once a week, would have to be tested twice a week. Baseball would have to be tested basically every day.
Yep.
So you would think NFL, you got to test everybody.
I don't think a lot of people realize that. You have to test people every day. You're going to need 100,000 tests.
Right.
It's
so
just this type of season.
So what are they waiting on? Like, I have to have a feeling that they know something from a lab about a certain test, and when it comes, they're going to say, here's $20 million. Give me all the tests you got.
Yeah.
That has to be coming. Otherwise, all of this is foolish.
Yeah. All right. So in our never-ending desire to see different stuff on TV, I took in the Jerry Seinfeld comedy special.
Oh, yeah, I haven't watched it. How is it?
Oh, the new one on Netflix?
It might be his last one, they said.
The new one, yeah.
Oh, how was it? I can't wait to watch it.
Well, it was good. You know, there's something about Seinfeld right now with me. Like, I don't remember him being so, not nice. Like, he's irascible now. It's like, you know, that's not the Jerry Seinfeld I remember.
Well, and that's somebody that I had talked to who had watched this documentary or the special said kind of the same thing, that he seemed kind of negative, right?
Yeah, he's like,
not
he's
negative,
changed.
He's just
his
kind
personality's
of,
changed. He's like, like snarky and, you know, he's, I don't know.
Like condescending almost.
Yeah, very condescending.
Yeah.
He's been like that with about comedy. I think he has decided that he is the king of comedy.
Yes, I agree with Ty.
He's done that some on the show. Like when he had an episode with Tracy Morgan, and Tracy Morgan said it's funny because it's true. He goes, no, it's funny because it's funny. He's trying to school a guy who's made millions of dollars in stand-up about stand-up. I think there's a little bit of that probably trickles into
stand-up.
Yeah, listen,
it was to me. I mean, he's got his observations on life, which are always interesting, but like I don't remember him being as irascible as he is now.
I've never thought he was a great stand-up.
Really?
Now, obviously, he was great enough to create a television show and all that kind of stuff. It's not that he's not funny, but I don't think sitcom Seinfeld's better than stand-up Seinfeld to me.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
I never thought he was like in the Mount Rushmore of stand-ups at the best of times.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I do wonder about when your kids grow up, too. His kid's getting older, getting on his nerves. I do wonder if that comes out the poor.
Oh, it's coming out the wife thing is coming out big time.
Yeah.
He did almost 20 minutes on how miserable it is to be married.
Well, he waited a long time to get married. He was late in life getting married for the first time.
But that's like 20 minutes worth of the routine here.
That's not awesome.
Which is, it's the same. You see these comics, they go down that wife angle a lot.
Yeah.
They eat up a lot
of wife time. On like what the misery of being with a person.
I've seen a bunch of comedians who do that, and it's almost after like 15 minutes or so, you're like, okay, go see a therapist, maybe.
Yeah.
Like you're letting it out up here on stage, which is what comedy's for.
Yeah, he goes full bore into that.
They do that partially because it's relatable,
Well, yeah.
So there's millions of married people.
Oh, yeah, people in the audience.
They buy
you guys know.
Because it's so relatable. So it's almost like a given. This is going to work. Because if I get 10% of this audience married, I'm going to kill.
Yeah.
So
sometimes, though, it's just awkward when they rag on the wife for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little uncomfortable then. And to joke about marriage is one thing. But if you see a comedian who rags on, you know, whoever, their partner, it's kind of like, okay, maybe you need to reevaluate.
He's not, like, the stuff he's saying is not false stuff.
Right.
But it's like...
It's just a lot.
It just added to the whole irascibility of him now, like, in my view. I don't know. Count your money and be happy. It was
there.
A strange view. And then I flipped on this Letterman thing where he sits with somebody.
Oh, my God. I love this series.
It was Zach Galifianakis, the one I saw.
Oh, God.
Well, Letterman just is, he's lost in space, man.
A little bit.
He's just, like, he's almost going further. Into space.
Probably.
You know, like, he's not even human anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of just went off the rails.
Yeah, he's not human. It was uncomfortable for me to watch it.
Some of the other interviews are really, really good. Really good.
All right. It seems like he's trying out weird himself.
Kind of.
Sometimes you start to just embrace who you really are.
I mean, he's also, you know, in his, like, mid-70s.
Yeah, I get it. All right.
All Leno does now is wear double denim. You should never double denim.
Yeah.
That's all Leno does is double denim in his garage.
With the jeans?
Uh-huh.
Denim shirt and jeans?
Yep, double denim. You should never double denim.
I didn't double denim when it was fashionable, denim.
He's double denim.
Is he really?
He's just embracing it.
Come
what
on,
you
going
to tell me? I'm Jay Leno.
The only one who still remains intact is Conan.
I don't know this Conan thing you have. I've never been a Conan guy.
Oh, I think Conan's funny.
He's so funny.
Yeah, I don't get it. Travis on his cell. Travis, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Travis.
Hey, good day, man. Good day.
What's up, Travis?
Hey, what's going on, man? You killing Mike? You know, you worried about his politics. You know, I don't remember Gretzky's politics or Messier's politics coming up. I mean,
let me ask you a question. Gretzky and Messier black? And grow up in a state that had a bigot for a senator?
Yeah, but you know what? I think the
what are you talking about, man? What kind of a comparison is that?
No, I'm saying I don't look to the best baseball player of all time for his politics.
It's not about politics, dude. It's not about your politics. It's about doing something that would help mankind.
Sure, and Dean Smith would have been the guy to do it, and he was supposed to run a number of
talking about Dean Smith. Mike's mother asked him to do a PSA. He couldn't even do that?
I would have loved to see him do it.
You would have loved to see him do it, but you can excuse him.
I'm not excusing him. I haven't watched the show. I know who Mike was. Mike was a driven competitor, ultra-competitive. He wanted the best from everybody around him, anybody in his
Why did you? You went into the wrong avenue here with me. You went into the wrong avenue. You're excusing. You don't even know what the damn issue is, and you're excusing him.
So what's
right about that? Are you going to sit there and excuse him?
I'm not excusing him, Mike. But I think the thing about it is he was a younger guy at the time.
Oh my ass, younger guy. He was old enough to know better. He was making $1 zillion on his sneakers. Stop. Young guy.
What does that got to do with knowledge? He's not a great thinker. Nobody.
What are you talking about? He's not a great thinker. It's his home state. There's a guy running on segregation in 1990. That shouldn't affect you as a human?
Because there's boys and girls clubs and things of that in his home state. I would have liked to see him speak out against it. That wasn't the path he chose.
And that's why I'm criticizing him, because he didn't choose the path. I'm entitled to criticize him for not choosing the right path. It's a coward path that he chose.
I don't know if you can call it a coward path. As much as you say, Mike was a notoriously cheap temper. I don't get down with that, but I'm sure the way he grew up, his father coming home from the factory after 12 hours
Travis, play the organ for Travis. I think that Travis, you need to. There it is, the Church of Jordan. There it is. How do you dress in church?
Mike,
you don't wear shorts in church, do you?
Hey, come as you are is what the church
says. Okay. Get that holy water on you.
Mike, you don't get it. I'm saying he is what he was. He was the best ball player of all time.
Yeah, he was. And I'm not even criticizing for his maniacal competitiveness where he ripped into everybody. But don't tell me that what he did was right in that kind of situation. Because a man has to stand for something. I don't hear these excuses. Well, he's a path he didn't choose. Why not? Because he was a coward. That's why. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
This thing about this misused word is politics. Yeah, it's politics, right? It's simple, right versus wrong. It's not his politics. It has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with right and wrong. All right. Anyway, this Jason Hearer, who did the documentary, was interviewed by this Richard Deitch regarding the documentary, mm-hmm. and he addressed all the criticisms that Ken Burns put down. He said Ken Burns called him and fleshed it out with him and said it came out that way. He didn't mean it that way and explained what he meant, and that like PBS parameters are a lot different than parameters from here. So I guess he was asked about the final control that the Jordan camp had on this. So he said, I had my fears going into it. This is the director, Jason Hearer. That they would exercise their right to disagree with certain storylines and to pull certain pieces of footage. But there is never one moment where Michael Jordan or his representatives said, you cannot talk about this subject or this is off limits. Don't ask this question. There wasn't one moment that they said, take this out because it doesn't reflect well on Michael. The moments that we were allowed to include, I'm still surprised they were okay with us using. He certainly had the right to wield that power, and he never did. So it's tricky. I am a storyteller. That's the business that I am in. We are given access to tell people stories, and oftentimes these people are very precious with that access. So I take it very seriously that people have given us the trust and responsibility to tell their story fairly and accurately. Your comment to that, Tyrone. Your reaction.
So he's saying I kissed up to Jordan. If you're doing a
documentary. He's saying he didn't kiss up to Jordan.
But this is where I don't believe him.
Okay, so that's what I'm asking you. Do you believe that statement or not?
I do not, because there's no way if anybody, I'm talking about my life, which is not nothing like Michael Jordan. If someone's going to do a documentary on your life and you're not going to give pushback on a single thing, that means you didn't actually try to really push the envelope. Because with Michael, there's stuff. And so you mean to tell me they finally showed for one half a second Juanita in episode 8 out of 10. That relationship, her being there at those press conferences, all that stuff's a central part of any Michael Jordan story if you're telling it in his playing days. Not his post-playing days when they broke up. His playing days cannot be told without Juanita. Juanita was the one, the parents only approved because they said Michael had to go back to school. She agreed because Michael had to go back and get his degree because he left early. That's all part of that Jordan story. For him to say Jordan didn't say anything, that means you didn't try to put Juanita in it. You didn't try to put his wife during that whole time, end of documentary. You're kissing up to him then. Yeah, and not to mention all the other stuff.
I think he's telling the truth, but I think he is telling the truth with a wink. In other words, knowing not to go, that he knew that he couldn't go into certain areas. So while he says they didn't object to anything, I also think that they didn't go in certain areas because either they knew or it was communicated to them that they shouldn't go in these areas. So therefore, they weren't given the opportunity to be turned down because they didn't go there in the first place.
Now, I've watched all 8 episodes. I think it's an entertaining documentary. I've watched it. I'm not saying that it's a bad documentary. He's probably going to win awards for this documentary.
I agree.
But I do not believe that the adultery allegations which are out there, and I just don't believe a man's wife during the entire span gets 1 second in 8 episodes, and you didn't think to ask her questions or his sons. I don't believe it.
Yeah, well, they knew not to go there.
Right. So to me, that's kind of kissing up to Jordan.
I get it.
Extremely. I mean, it covers all the bases.
I don't think he's lying here when he says this. I think he's also knows that there was a landscape he could explore.
And to me, asking about the man's wife would not be crazy in a documentary about his life.
Yeah, well, there's two episodes left.
Because you got Carmen Electra, but no Juanita Jordan? Huh? What?
There's two left.
Maybe
Juanita Surface.
Maybe she does.
Joe and Fox Chase. Joe, you're on 97.5
hey,
now.
Guys,
Joe.
How we doing?
What's up,
how we
Joe?
Doing, guys?
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. A couple things if you can help me with.
Mm-hmm.
A few callers back, the guy came out with the top four.
Yeah, players of all time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was that like for a certain era? Was that for a lifetime?
All time.
How is Wilt Chamberlain not in the top four?
He put Jabbar in there instead.
No, but I mean, in the top four, I mean, I was a little bit taken back. I mean, maybe he's not one, maybe he's not, but my God, if he's not in the top four, guy who changed the game totally. I know the era and all that, but my God.
I'll tell you what, there are some rabid Wilt fans in this area. I admire it, but I go, was Wilt this big winner?
Well, is it always about...
Well, it should help, shouldn't it? Dan, I mean, he's such a dominant player. His teams would have won a lot more, no?
Well, Dan Marino was a great quarterback, and he never won it, but that's to be here and there. I don't want to argue with you, but I just thought it was odd that he wasn't in the...
Yeah, I don't put centers in my when I rank players anyway. I have a separate list for that, and I would probably put Wilt at the top of that list.
Yeah, all right, I'll work with that. Okay, here's the other thing. With Major League Baseball, help me out with this deal. Is it, if they play half a season, are the players going to get half of their pay?
Yeah, it's prorated.
Okay, then what I don't understand, what are the issues that the association.
The issues have to do with revenue sharing, which it's like provisional of a salary cap, the way they're trying to do this, and in which case the players could not get their share if things change, if the season has to be recanceled because of this. And it's a lot of technical stuff, but it's an unfair bargain for the players because they're not guaranteed to get 50%.
Yeah, and I mean, I hate to favor the owners in a certain, but I mean they're literally screwed here too, aren't they? I mean they're getting nobody's allowed in the stadium.
Yeah. Is it going to hurt the billionaires? Are they really going to hurt billionaires? they're going to stand out there with a tin cup on the street? Yeah.
Yeah, you got say a prayer for the billionaires.
Yeah.
Pour a little liquor out.
Yeah,
can't make it.
My God, they're going to send the kids out to get work in a factory. Support the family.
Those poor guys.
Let's go to Steve and Olney. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, guys, what's up? I can't believe how much concern there is every day for these poor guys that are, these poor...
The owners?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting all their revenue cut. No fans in the stands. I don't know. That might lead to some suicidal owners.
Yeah, they're really going to lose out. They might not be able to pay for that second Bentley. Anywho, the thing that made me call was when Ty mentioned, the filmmaker kind of kissing up to Jordan. I like the documentary, and I don't know if they're, maybe Juanita should or shouldn't be in it because it's more about the playing, but then you mentioned Carmen, and of course she was brought up in it. But the first thing that made me think this isn't telling the full Jordan story is when they played the clips of him, his first meeting with Kobe, and, he called him a little Laker boy.
Yeah.
And there was more footage of him talking trash about Kobe Bryant that they only
probably
played.
Probably,
and they didn't play any of it to show the kind of guy he is. Like, this is my league, and nobody.
See, that's the director gone. What do I have to gain by if I did that? I'm only going to make enemies of this camp, right? So they don't go there. Now that's a way of self censoring.
I think Kobe will be back in the last couple of. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see. Stay tuned, Joe Torti. We'll take you this evening on 97.5 The Fanatic on NBC Sports Philadelphia Lunch Talk Live, followed by Phillies and Cubs from August 2017, a big Reese Hoskins game. So stay tuned for that. Everybody, have a great rest of the night. Be safe. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.